Good morning. How are you feeling today? Do we really give an honest answer? You know, this last week, I've probably felt overwhelmed at times. I felt exasperated at times, probably frustrated. I don't know if that's me or if that's something else up there. Knock, knock. Oh, it got quiet whenever Mike went up there. Thank you. Maybe even this last week you felt defeated at one point or another. Challenged, attacked, maybe even powerless when you face something. You know, these are the things that are kind of going through our minds. We're in a very tense time, precarious time that we live in. And honestly, if those words don't pass through your mind at least once in a while, I don't know. And you know, the fact is, we're the people who say that we know the living God and that His Spirit lives within us. And we still have those things go across our radar screen. Truth is, we do need to know that God is in control. We got to remember that. We have to remember that nothing happens that doesn't go across His desk first. We need to remember that. We need to remember that He has not forgotten us, and that just because things seem to be slipping or out of our grasp or beyond our understanding, that does not mean that He is not in the middle of it. In fact, He is still sovereign. He is still in charge. And the truth is, He's trying to get us to believe some things about ourselves that we tend to forget all too quickly. The reality is, all those feelings that we have only concern us, pardon me, only concern Him in that He sees how much they hurt us and keep us from being who He wants us to be. He hates it when we get stuck. And I can get stuck. I don't know about you. I can get an attitude. You get stuck. I can start believing things that aren't true, and I get stuck. I start worrying about stuff that is not for me to be worried about, and I get stuck. Today, I want to remind you of something, because I feel like God's reminding me of something, and that is that our God is a God of constant, repeated second chances. Now, here's a story that was not planned, and I'm going to share it with you anyway. And then I'm going to show you one in just a minute. I don't even know who it is. It's in the little clip I'm going to show you in a minute. But the story that I can tell you is, yesterday, you have to understand, me and Facebook have this funny relationship. I only look at it about once every week and a half. I kind of know that some things have come in because it goes to one of my email accounts, but I don't. I just erase them off my email account, and then I'll go to check Facebook about once every 10 days. Well, a guy that I went to high school with, who's a year older than me, put in our little message, said, "Call me as soon as you can. My number is this." So, last night I saw it. I looked and I called him. Called Tony. I've known Tony since I was 10 years old. Tony and I played football together whenever I was 10 years old. And he called me and he said, "Rick," he said, "I need you to pray for a guy." I said, "Okay." He said, This guy went to school with me. He said he was in my grade. He said, I don't even know if you remember him, but he said, I'm his addiction coach. I'm trying to walk with him through recovery. He said, Rick, I told you that we had a wrestling reunion, I guess, about 5 or 6 months ago. I think I may have told you about. And whenever I was there, he told me that he had been in recovery for like 27 years. And he said, this is what God has made me do. He said, I'm learning to be an addiction counselor. I'm got so many hours left to do that. I said, Tony, that's great. And so we prayed for the guy on the phone. I told him I'd partner with him and I'd pray for this guy and his investment in this guy. I tell you the story because Tony got a second chance. And for 27 years, he knows that it's God that he owes a second chance to. And now he's got a passion and a desire to continue to pour into the lives of other people. And right now, it's this other guy that he went to school. We walked the same halls. We listened to the same music. We had the same teachers. Probably now he sees that he's gone through some of the same experiences in life as this guy. And he desperately wants him to know what it feels like to be free again. He needs a second chance. If you look at the picture, what do you see? You see a guy, where is he standing? Can you tell? He's in the middle of what? He's in the middle of maybe Central Park, but it's a big city, right? And all he's got to do in the midst of all the stuff that's around him, what does he have to do to see his life change? He just has to look up. See the second chance. So the title is, Can You See It? Because it's right there. We all need a second chance. Every one of us. Even today, you and me, whenever we go through those stuff, the stuff that I was talking about earlier, by being frustrated and overwhelmed and defeated and failed and all that kind of stuff, we need to look up. Because there's a second chance there. And God has it for us. As we get started, I kind of wanted to start with a video. It's a video of a young man. You see him. It's one of those card videos where the guy flips the cards and tells the story. It's about a second chance. John.
You have been and you will be you have seen and you will see you know when I and you have seen
Why does just a guy holding pieces of paper get to us? I don't know who that guy is. But I know that he got second chances that everybody needs. I want to look for just a few minutes to remind us that the Bible has lots of stories about second chances. And I want you to help me remember the stories, because we need to remember the stories. So let's look at some biblical examples of how God gives people second chances. Somebody tell me the story of Moses. All throughout Moses' life, God gave him second chances. Why do you think God did that? Bless you, Jay. Because he believed God. God did that. God loved Moses. So he did that. Why did God do that? His plan for Moses. Something that Artie said that I think we can't forget is that Moses' second chances weren't just Moses' second chances. Moses' second chances were Israel's second chances. It wasn't just about Moses. We focus on his story because he's the one that God put his hand on and wouldn't let him alone. In fact, pestered him to get him to do what he wanted him to do. Second story, John. Somebody tell me the story of Jonah. Well, I think the truth is there is easily a tie-in. What would the tie-in be? He got a second chance. Nineveh got a second chance. Jonah, just because he was a malcontent, because he had his prejudices that did not get reinforced by God one bit. God still used him to do something much greater than anything. And the unfortunate thing is that Jonah never got to enjoy any of it. He got a second chance and sat there and pouted. Now, he was unlike Moses in that. Next story. Peter. Somebody tell me about Peter. Remember, after the resurrection, and after Peter had denied Jesus three times, the story goes that they found Jesus on the shore cooking fish for him. And at some point during that time, that, I don't know if it was morning or late morning or whatever, that Jesus pulled Peter aside. What did he ask him? Do you love me? Or are you my bud? First time. You my friend? Love me like a brother? He said, you know I love you. Then what did he do? He asked him again. Probably feeling a little uncertain about this about now. What did he tell him to do? Take care. Feed them. Take care of them. It was a second chance. Peter's second chance once more. Who also benefited from Peter's second chance? You could say you and me, but all those immediately, all those who were there in the church in Jerusalem. Okay? Next story. But God did sit him on the shelf for a while. I mean, he was sent away for several years for his own protection and for God to work in his life. But once again, who was the benefit of Paul's second chance? Now you look at us, okay? The fact that there is a church that includes people who are literally mutts, and we're mutts. All of our backgrounds intermixed and intermingled and from many places. And all right, we got another story. We know much less about her, but we do know how Jesus dealt with her. Somebody tell me that story from John chapter 8. And that one statement is rather important there. And that she did get a second chance, but she didn't get a second chance to go back and do the same thing over again. Lastly, you. God hints at your story in the Bible too. Because He talks about people who will come to faith in Christ in the future as Jesus prayed in the garden, John chapter 17. He talks about you and me and the fact that you and I need a second chance. Sometimes, in fact, many times, most times, okay, I'll be honest, all the time, we need second chances. Let's look at some of the lessons that we learned from these stories. First, guilt does not have to rule our lives. How do you see that in these stories? Could they have constantly called up the memories from their failures and their past? Could they have not used that as a good excuse to have a legalistic approach at following God? But you see anything except that in the New Testament. Guilt does not have to rule us. We don't have to be motivated by the fact that we feel like we failed. And the reality is, if we understand these stories, the way I believe God wants us to understand these stories, the fact that He intervened in these people's lives, that He had a bigger plan, that He grafted these people into, there is no expression in any one of these stories where God ever goes back and says, remember, you failed. Because that had nothing to do with His purpose in their lives. And it has nothing to do with God's purpose in our lives either. Even if we really messed up. Like Claudia said, it's a forward movement. It's an open door. It's no, is there anything you or I can do to change anything we did 3 days ago? We can't go back to Thursday morning and wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning instead of 7:30. We can't do that. Can't change history. It's past. But you can move forward. You get a new chance when you wake up in the morning. You get a new chance when you get up out of the pew today. Second lesson. God uses imperfect people to do significant eternal things. And who's to say that what we do today when we leave here, or even what we do here today together, won't have some significant eternal result. And you and I are not perfect. And guess what? We don't have to claim to be. That's what the blood of Jesus does. God sees us through His righteousness, not our imperfection. It's just a matter of our heart belonging to Him. And somehow He can keep taking all of our mess ups and all of our bad attitudes and all of that, and He can move us forward. Imperfect people. So not one of us can sit here and go, I can't because I'm not perfect. But I did that. Well, yeah, we all did those things. Because if we're honest about Scripture, it doesn't say that anybody's sin is any better or any different than anybody else's. We just tend to be the ones that like to categorize everything because it makes us feel better. Number three, God expects change in our hearts to accompany our second chance. You betcha. That, I believe, is why He said to the woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more. He was essentially saying repent. Turn and go in a different direction. And there is repentance that is supposed to accompany our second chance. At the beginning of that, when you couldn't read the placards real clear, as if you could ever, but he said that he had a hard time connecting with people. And so he tried to find some place where he saw camaraderie and connection, so he tried to play football. And he said even though he tried to play football, he still felt alienated. He said after a year he quit because it didn't fill him up. And then he began to hang out with the partying scene and became a dealer, and then got in a fight with some of the guys that he used to play football with. And that was where we kind of got the placards straightened out. A change. I thought it was cool on the video. Did you notice his facial expression? That at the beginning of that video, there was just an indifferent thing. And then by the end, he was smiling. He was beaming. He was glowing. Because he had got that second chance. And he was gonna run with it. Yes. 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 And that is the only reason God ever wants us to remember where we came from. It's to remember the grace and the change and what He's done in our lives. And that should be our motivation. Now, it doesn't have to be that we go into youth ministry. It's just a matter of we go into the world when we go out today. And we do it in Jesus' name. Even if it's the second chance that gets us to the next failure, that gets us to the next second chance. Because God's plan is not about condemning. God's plan is about life and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. It's also about changing the world. Next one, John. Our past does not determine our future. You know, sometimes we fall into the... I'm guilty of this. I'll hear something, it sounds good. I think I'll repeat it. The whole idea that we are all we are is the sum total of our choices. Well, that sounds good and philosophical and deep and all, but the reality is, in Christ Jesus, that is not true. We are not the sum total of our choices. So our past does not determine our future. The only thing that determines our future is the Lord Jesus Christ and the purpose of God. That's it. Next. This is the last one. Your transformed life is not your only second chance. We seem to, in evangelical circles, focus entirely sometimes almost on a person's point of decision when they come to accept the Lordship of Jesus Christ in their lives. And we believe at that point that the Holy Spirit comes into a person and changes them. A guy I used to listen to in Texas kind of put it this way, we became spirit critters in an earth suit. That whenever we accept Christ, that something takes place in us and we are no longer the same. But that is not the only second chance we get. And unfortunately, in evangelical circles, there's times where we focus entirely on that. And the truth is, God keeps transforming our failures, transforming our disappointments, transforming the things that we do whenever we don't do our best or we don't focus or we don't hear. He keeps giving us second chances over and over and over and over again. In just a second, we're going to pull out the tissues again. We have ample opportunities that God gives us to do things the right way. To choose faith instead of flesh. They're inexhaustible. And I believe that's the point. In that we've got to remember that the chances that God gives to us are inexhaustible, but at the same time, not assume them. You know what I mean? Because Hebrews does talk about treating the sacrifice of Jesus as something that could be trampled, because we assume that we get another chance. Well, we are going to get another chance because God knows our hearts and He has a purpose and He has a plan for us, and it is bigger than us. The only thing I really liked about Rick Warren's purpose-driven life was that little expression, "It's not about you." That was the most liberating thing in the whole book for me. It is not about me. It's about God's plan, who He is, and what's going on in the world. And the fact that He would make my life a part of that was remarkable. But just because I have a bad day and I screw up, it doesn't mean that it's done. And it's really, it's a second chance for us too. It's ours, not just theirs. We're not worthy. They're not worthy. We're not worthy. None of us are worthy of the second chance. We start to be disappointed in ourselves, and then we begin to remove ourselves from fellowship, from community. That's what we do. When we feel the shame of our failure, we start to withdraw. God's purpose is, I put you in the middle of people for a reason. All right. I've got one more video. You've seen videos like this before. So just understand, it's just one church at one point in time, and it's not our church. But at any given time, God could do something like this, and it would remind us of all the opportunities God gives to us over and over and over again, and how He uses our lives in bigger ways than we ever thought.
righteousness for me. Stand in my defense, Jesus, it's your blood. What?
wondered if God has a trophy case, these are trophies of God's grace right here.
This is kind of what I feel like heaven's going to be like. Second chances. You need one today. You know somebody that needs one today. And do you realize that yours is so much bigger than you are? Let's pray. Father God, help us to remember how you really work, who you really are, how much you really love. Lord, help us to embrace your purpose and plan for us and see that your purpose and plan for us really is about much more than just us. Lord, we live in a city that has influence and is going to have greater influence as the days come. And Lord, there are going to be people who need second chances, and I pray, Lord, that we will partner with you and we will be people who not only live and embrace second chances, but that we too will be people who will grant second chances and facilitate all those opportunities that you give for people to come into a right relationship with you, for people to be restored, for people to see the promise that you have and is waiting them. Lord, we thank you that you forgive us time after time after time. Lord, never let us believe the lie that says we are now in some way not qualified to be your people. But see us the way you see us. Lord, we thank you and we bless your name for how good you are. And we ask that we would see your kingdom come. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.